This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaonik and Philip C. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk about insurance with Anthony Lee. He's the chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, aka PM. But before that, market. Now, both the Dow and S&P closed flat last night.
Yes, Dow was marginally lower by 0.04%. The S&P 500 was marginally higher by 0.03%, but the Nasdaq was up 0.6%, besting its inauguration day performance. While in Asia, Nikkei was up 0.8%, Hang Seng down 0.1%, Shanghai Composite up 1%, STI up 0.6%, while back home, FBM KLCI down 0.4%, closing below the 1,600 level as investors reacted to the expansion of MCO.
Okay, so to break down what the new Joe Biden administration means for global markets, we've got with us on the line Carlos Casanova, the senior economist at UBP. Carlos, thanks for talking to us. Now, it's day one of Joe Biden's administration. What is your sense of what his administration might mean for Asian risk assets?
Good morning. So we've definitely seen optimism over the board. He didn't waste time signing 15 executive orders during his first hour in office to revoke some of the more controversial policies imposed by Trump under his presidency, many of which were also quite detrimental to the performance of Asian asset classes, of course, because they exacerbated sort of the ongoing like US-China tensions. Now, that won't disappear overnight, but Biden will probably have a more constructive approach to engaging in the region. And of course, with the market now expecting quite a lot of fiscal stimulus kicking in, that should be reflationary and positive for asset classes over the board, and helping to explain some of that optimism after he was sworn in on Wednesday in the market.
And Carlos, how pivotal will US-China relations be in determining market direction in this region?
Mm-hmm. The tone of the bilateral relationship between, I'm focusing on US-China first, as that is sort of the biggest one, will be less belligerent than it was in the Trump. We are not expecting a U-turn by any means. Biden only has a very thin majority in government, and so he is likely going to try to form consensus at the center of the political spectrum. There is bipartisan support to continue to have a relatively assertive stance on China, and so that is going to continue. The trade deal, as we know, is not going as planned, so there's still a lot of room to improve there. It's likely that tariffs will take possibly like up to a few years to be unwound. So we are not going to see a reversal of conditions overnight. But more than sort of targeting individual companies, I think he's going to opt for a more multilateral approach and engaging other partners in the region, such as India, as a strategic counter pivot to China, but also forming a coalition with Australia, engaging Japan a little bit more. So it's going to be sort of a more plural approach to Asia as a whole, which of course will mean a little bit less downside risk, and specifically on single names.
And Carlos, if we draw your attention to the Hong Kong market, I mean, it seems to be enjoying a bit of a bull run. The Hang Seng Index broke through the 30,000 level yesterday. I think it's the best performing market in Asia, up more than 10%. So why, who are the buyers? Where's the inflow coming from?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the inflow is coming, it's a southbound inflow. You have a lot of Chinese investment in the Hang Seng Index recently. It's up by quite a bit year to date. I think it reflects a series of factors. Of course, there is better sentiment over the board. There were concerns, and there are still concerns about weaker US dollar performance, and that is still the ongoing secular trend. So the long-term trend, given the big fiscal and current account deficits in the US, is for the US dollar to remain subdued. But usually, typically after a presidential inauguration, you have a lot of upside on US dollar assets. Hong Kong dollar being pegged, there's going to be demand for Hong Kong dollar denominated assets as well coming from mainland China. But you also saw a lot of bullish sentiment on a few of the big names that are listed in Hong Kong as well, especially Alibaba, following from that resurfacing of Jack Ma earlier this week. And that is also supporting Tencent. Moreover, the economic situation in China has improved, so they have relaxed a little bit the current account controls, predominantly to enable Chinese firms to also support their subsidiaries overseas in other parts of the world that, you know, where things are not going as well in terms of the economy. So they have to allow some degree of capital flow to them. But of course, you know, you have investors that will also use that to get some exposure to US dollar denominated assets for diversification purposes. So together, all of that has explained a lot of the inflows that we've seen into the Hang Seng Index in the coming months. If the Hong Kong market continues to attract IPOs, especially in high tech and biotech, my assumption is that will continue to support inflows into the Hang Seng Index going forward.
Carlos, could some of this inflow be as a result of the delisting of some of the Chinese names in the US markets?
Absolutely. I mean, we saw with the big tech companies that they immediately sought to be allowed to relist again. So despite, you know, ongoing tensions and the fact that things are not going to change dramatically under Biden, I think Chinese companies still want to have a foot in the door in terms of access to U.S. capital markets. But Hong Kong is the most credible, easiest, closest, biggest alternative. And we are going to see diversification and we are going to see an increase in secondary listings in Hong Kong, and that is going to attract flows as well as people try to seek, you know, having a foot in the door. Moreover, I think with this new lift, they've lifted restrictions on investment in some key tech sectors, like biotech as well. That's an area that's thriving. We've seen tech stocks outperform everyone else in this pandemic year. So I think the type of listings that we'll see in Hong Kong will also make a difference in terms of the inflows, and it will be supportive because they're trying to mostly attract a lot of these like new tech, new industries to Hong Kong as well.
Yeah, still staying on China, Carlos. We know that they are a major buyer of commodities and crude. In your opinion, what metals will they be looking to stockpile this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are kind of in a bit of a commodity boom at the moment. I think everything is up. A lot of that has to do with the fact that you've had supply side disruptions. So some of the upside that we've seen in commodities are not necessarily related to better demand from China, but it's possibly to do with supply chain disruptions in copper, supply chains in parts of Latin America and Africa due to COVID. So that is going to continue to play a role. Having said that, it is true that China has also ramped up its imports of key strategic commodities such as copper, but also, and more importantly, iron ore. We do expect that there will be continued demand for iron ore. There will be less demand from it from a public investment standpoint, so less infrastructure, but of course, better performance, better capital expenditure by private companies, and a recovery in the housing sector should also be conducive to sustain demand for iron ore. So we don't expect it to completely collapse, but of course, maybe the pace of upside will be slightly slower than it was in 2020. The other area, of course, which continues to be of interest is gold. Maybe not as hot a topic in the context of, you know, this Biden administration coming into office and there being a bit of a rally. But as we look into the depths of 2021, halfway through the year, I think the debate about U.S. debt, the debate about the U.S. fiscal deficit and the current account deficit is going to reignite sort of fears of sustained U.S. dollar depreciation, a weakness, which of course then means, you know, you have to hedge by having exposure to other risk havens, and gold and precious metals are another area that China is probably going to consider to increase its exposure to as a result.
All right, Carlos, thanks so much for your time. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP. Now, interesting, tech stocks continue their untrammeled rise with the new administration, and Intel's been no exception. They reported better than expected earnings for the last quarter. EPS was 152, that's better than the 110 expected by analysts, which is quite a lot, actually, nearly 40%. And revenue was $20 billion versus the $18 billion expected.
On the flip side, IBM actually underperformed with revenue slide continuing in quarter four 2020, basically much lower than expectation, $20.4 billion revenue recorded compared to the expectations of $20.7 billion. So 6.6% drop annually.
Yeah, I think this is a tale of two halves, right? So you've got Intel in the right space, really benefiting from the sharp rise in personal computers because people are working from home. And then you have old tech, IBM. It's like a pedigree of computing, but somehow not finding its way. They are trying to move on to the cloud computing and an artificial intelligence space, but the strategy seems to have not paid off at all. I mean, when you look at the winners, it's like names like Amazon Cloud, Microsoft with their hybrid, and IBM just can't seem to get their foot through the door.
And of course, Azure, right? So that whole idea about going to services has been a huge road bump for IBM. And of course, Intel with their new head honcho, Pat Gelsinger. They want to become the world's biggest chippy again. Chip maker in that case, not the fish and chip variety. Bitcoin losses has gathered pace. Now about, what is that? $31,000 per...
11.3% drop.
Yeah, that's quite a lot. It wasn't that long ago that they were trading at about 40,000 Bitcoins.
The lowest level in 3 weeks.
Okay, the rally has snapped. And of course, that is in tandem with a drop in gold. So risk off assets have lost their vigor. 7:16, we'll come back after this with some local news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.